Servant today. We welcome you, especially if you are a guest of ours. We want you to feel at home among us and not be shy. I know some people want to remain incognito when they visit a church, but that's hard to do in this church because we love on you so much. We love on you so much. We know who you are and we love you. And we're so grateful to all of you, members, non-members, visitors, friends, family. We're all a part of God's kingdom, and we walk into this church a part of family. I am so grateful to you for your worship here at Calvary. I thank you and appreciate you. Just a couple things before we greet one another with the peace of Christ. One is, I want to remind you, next Sunday is the Cantata. And our worship service is when?
10:30.
That's right. That's right. And then Sunday after that is Christmas Day. And our worship service is when? 10:30 for the next 2 weeks. You've got it down, Pat. I know you'll be here. We have some great worship planned for you for Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock and Christmas Day at 10:30. But we'll start off with the cantata next Sunday. Speaking of which, you'll notice that Andy's not here. Between services, he went to the hospital. He's not feeling well, so we need to keep him in prayer. We don't know what's wrong or what the problem is. We just know he wasn't feeling well. And so he went to the hospital, and I want you to know and be in prayer for him. That's why he's not here today. I guess, you know, now it's time to greet each other with the peace of Christ.
Well, good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Okay, who noticed the beautiful blue skies this morning? Yeah. Praise God. We are so blessed in Florida to have such beautiful weather. Amen. And, of course, it is all prepared by our loving Father. So praise God for a beautiful day, and we're happy and grateful and thankful for each one of you here this morning. My name is Robin Stowers. Yes, sir? Andy is here. Yay! Oh, it is a miracle because I was a little disappointed that we weren't going to do our anthem if he wasn't here. So I'm excited. Okay. Please pay attention this morning to our announcements. I don't want anybody to be late next week. Now, next week there will be Sunday school, but it's from 9 to 10, not 9:30 to 10:30, okay? 9 to 10. Worship service at 10:30, Saturday evening, Christmas Eve, Sunday, Christmas Day, one service, no Sunday school, okay? And it's all right here, so don't be leaving your bulletins in the pew. Take them home with you, okay? Very important announcements. Offering envelopes are in the hallway, okay? We'll know if you don't pick yours up because they'll still be out there. And Beth Locke will make sure she'll be running around and giving them to you. So please do your due diligence and pick up your offering envelopes. They're in the hallway out here, okay? And I have to put those back. Okay, so that is that. A lot going on this time of year, and our church is doing a ministry. Oh, Father and Son, welcome. Welcome, Andy. Wow, that must have been the shortest trip to the ER ever. You're back, Andy. Food bank third, what day is that? Let's see, that's on Friday. We'll be preparing meals, cooked meals to hand out to the community. There is a sign-up sheet in the hallway. Larry has informed me that a lot of people have already signed up because they need volunteers. But if it's all signed up, you are still welcome to come and volunteer, okay? The food will be prepared. It'll be put together and handed out. So the food will be provided to you to cook. And so the plan is to hand the meals out between 5 and 7 p.m. on Friday, December 23rd. What a wonderful ministry. Thank you, Larry. Huh?
Go along with that. Just so you know, yesterday's or this past Friday's food bank, right now we're sitting at about 350 meals to be handed out.
Wow.
That's just from the people that came to the food bank. It's going out on the marquee this week for the cutoff of next Saturday, so I expect a lot more people to call. This is also open to the congregation. Like to have meals prepared for Christmas Day, make sure you let either Sue or myself know, and we'll get you on the list. This is not just the community, this is congregation also, that anybody that does want a meal.
Very nice, very nice. You're giving public some competition, huh? Oh, that's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Okay, well, I do think Barbara has an announcement this morning. Amen. Amen. And this is this coming Saturday, the 17th at 10 o'clock. What a way to get our Christmas season started by coming up here and supporting our youth and our children. And a live nativity. Oh, how nice. Come and enjoy the reason for the season. Thank you, Barbara. Yes. Okay, did everybody hear that? Everybody does understand? Okay. Yes, Betty?
Today's the last Sunday for the children's home, and I'll be hanging around after church. You can give cash or checks. You don't have to pay. But I just want to thank everybody who's already contributed. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. That's wonderful.
Yes. We support, as a church, we support the United Methodist Children Home. So at Christmas time, we donate money and gift cards, and it really makes their Christmas special. And now Ron Coleman.
Good morning, everyone. I hate to pile on to the announcement train there. However, Robin mentioned that we have so many reasons to be blessed, so many reasons to be thankful. And many of those reasons are sitting among you, and they work here on a weekly basis. I'm talking about our staff. We are blessed to have a truly wonderful staff. So we would like to give something back to our staff this year in the form of a monetary contribution, and we'd like to do that by soliciting your donations to that so that we can gift our staff and give back to them for the wonderful job that they do. You can see all of their names on your bulletin, on your inserts, and we thank them so much, and we ask that you would contribute today and next Sunday, and we'll divide whatever we collect among our staff. Thank you, Robin.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, now I would like for Jim and Marion Haslip to come forward, and they will be lighting our Advent candle this morning. Yes, and everyone turn to the back of your bulletin. Marion will be the leader, and we will be the people. All right. Oh, here. Yes, you have to stand here.
Blessing upon blessing has been showered upon us by God.
The lame shall walk, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear.
There will be peace and hope in God's land.
Be of good courage. Behold, God is blessing and leading us.
Today we light three candles. The first is a candle of patience, reminding us to watch and wait for what God is about to do. The second candle is a candle of readiness, enabling us to look at our lives to get rid of all those things that keep us from God, to change our lives and to live as God would have us live. Second one. The third candle is a candle of faith, through which we behold the love and mercy of God and believe in God's presence with us.
Come, ye lights, let their brightness fill you.
Come, feel the warmth of the lights, let them give you comfort.
Come, draw near to the lights, for God is breaking through to you. Come,
amen.
Thank you very much.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to number 204. We'll sing Emmanuel. Together, we are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Father, and to the Son.
But what I'm going to tell you about are these three candles again. Remember, we have been lighting a candle every week as we get closer to Christmas. How many candles are lit right here? Three. There are three candles lit. Two purple ones and one rose-colored one. Can anybody tell me why we have a rose-colored candle up there with three purple candles? I know you don't know. I'm going to tell you. What? No? No, that's not it. The reason is, long, long time ago in France, it was so cold and so dark and so dreary during Advent, they needed a little break. They were waiting and waiting and waiting, and Advent didn't seem to get any closer. It was dark. It was cold. It just seemed like it would never arrive. So what they did was they had a mini celebration before Christmas arrived. And that's called gaudette, or joy, I believe, is how that translates in the French. So they decided to have one Sunday where they would celebrate before Christmas arrived. And we're going to do that very thing today. We're going to see our youth do something special for us, and that's going to be our Gaudette Sunday celebration, is the youth coming and doing their program for us. Now, I'm going to give everybody a piece of candy, and then you can stay up here, but you have to make room so they can come up. You have to spread out here so they can come up, and then you'll go back with Miss Teresa for Children's Church. But here's your piece of candy. Get it? Get it. I have to go to the other children. Get your candy. Yep. You traded one. All right. Here we go. Who else gets candy? One piece. One piece of candy. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Root beer. Excellent. All right. Ashton, can you come up here and get your candy? Come on, sweetheart. There you go, Ashton. Just one piece and then we go. All righty. Did you get yours, Ashton? Get your candy. All right. Now we have to move away from the step. Can you move away from the step, sweetheart? That's Ashton. Oh, well, we have a girl, Ashton, too. Yes, that's Ashton right there. All right, and now Fran is going to come and get our youth going. Good morning.
I'm really proud of this group of teenagers. Some of them have never done it. I'm skating, going to play. This is the very first time doing something like this. If I ask that you to dinner, you get applause and laughter. And if these 20 people are going to
It's great to be here. This is a really nice place. You know, the only real difference between here and the Arctic Circle is about 97 degrees. Say, is it me or is it hot in here? You know, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I like to do is have a giant bowl of frosted snowflakes. And then I'd like to wash it down with a giant Wendy's Frosty. Oh man, I'm asking you, is it me or is it hot here? You guys like music? I really love music. I think it's the language of the universe. I'm into all kinds of music. I really got into that rap music. It's really cool. My favorite rappers are Vanilla Ice and Ice Cube. Hey, could somebody see if the heat is on? I am roasting in here. Hey, you know why a blizzard is more fun than a snowstorm? Because you can get in a mims in a blizzard. Oh, it's like an oven in here. I gotta go before I make a real splash.
Mary, have found a faith with God, and now you conceive of the bearer son, you call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to our ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in the kingdom there will be no end.
A baby cried, his newborn cried, wrapped in swaddling clothes so torn. On that holy night so long ago, when Jesus Christ was born, three wise men saw the shining star and followed to where it led. They found the baby Jesus lying in a manger bed. He was born our Lord and Savior. He is with us every day. He listens to our every word, and so to him I pray. Bless all this season with warmth and love, and fill their hearts with the peace of the snow-white dove. Amen.
Amen.
And now Matthew, Caitlin, and Bradley have a short skit for you. Remain.
Look, Joe, it's never too early.
Slow down, Zachariah. Slow down, we.
To think about what schools you're going.
Zach.
You're right, but it's never too early to apply to University of Florida.
Zach.
Plus, it's in Gainesville, home of the Burrito Brothers. Best Mexican food anywhere.
One thing at a time. Wait, how's their guacamole?
It's the best in the world. Go Gators. Say, what have you guys got there?
Some presents from the wise men.
Wow, what did they bring?
Gold.
Gold? You can never have too much gold. What else?
Frankincense.
Or frankincense.
And a gift certificate from Babies R Us.
You know what you can buy from Babies R Us? They have strollers, cribs, high chairs, car seats, clothes, mobiles, changing stations, diaper genies, swings, toys.
Yeah, they're very generous.
You didn't happen to catch what school they went to, did you?
Well, I know Bob went to Harvard, and I did a couple of workshops with Mike at Yale.
And is Walker still teaching that Shepherd's Master's Class in Advanced Livestock Containment Applications and Strategies at St. John's River Community College?
Say what?
Is Walker still teaching that Shepherd's Master's Class in Advanced Livestock Containment Applications and Strategies at St. John's River Community College?
I think so, but I need to check on Mary.
Oh, of course, Joseph. It's all about Mary and Jesus. I'm sorry. I got so carried away. Is there anything we can do to help you count on us?
This has been such a busy day.
This has been a busy day and the best day of my life.
Please join with us.
Holy night, all is calm, all is bright, crown your virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Would the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for the children this time of year. Our children and youth are so special to us, and you came to us in the very form of a child. And for this, we give you thanks and praise. We are so grateful to your gifts to us. We return these back to you, dear God. Please use them and use us for your kingdom. Amen.
The news of a king's birth provoked many responses from the people of his day. Those who were looking for his coming welcomed him. Those who longed for deliverance from the present political kingdoms rejoiced. Some doubted, even some of God's people. For he came in a way that didn't expect. One thing is for certain, if a new king had arrived, there are sure to be changes. The Bible tells us there were wise men in the Far East who had been watching for signs, looking for these changes, studying scriptures that were not even their own. So when a new star appeared over Bethlehem, they came seeking this new king, and this news was not welcomed by Herod, the reigning king. Views in our world as Jesus himself told us to expect this. He told us to expect opposition, ridicule, even persecution. Yet, he does not revoke his claim. Christ is Lord. While the world watches, even in disbelief or opposition, we are called to worship.
Don't think that.
taste of what we're going to get next week? Is that part of the...
It's all polkas next week.
It's all what?
Polkas.
Polkas. Polkas. We're going to do polkas next week.
Christmas polkas.
There we go. Christmas polkas. Well, listen, if that was a foretaste of things to come, we have a lot to look forward to. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Well, we started out by praying for Andy. Maybe we need to continue praying for you, Andy.
I'd say you should never stop.
You should never stop. We're also praying for the Stone Gernhard family this morning. Barlow as well, because Ivy Gernhard passed away. That's Rhonda Barlow's daughter-in-law, married to Corey Gernhard. She was 33 years old and left behind not only her grieving husband, but two tiny babies, not even 6 months old. Mm. And so we are especially remembering them in our prayers today. We lift them up and know that in this time of loss and grief, that we pray that they find a measure of comfort, that God surrounds them with his loving care, yeah, so that they may know how much they are loved, that we love them and God loves them. Mm-hmm. And I know there are others that we could lift up today as well. And so I invite us into a time of silent prayer. And if you would like to lift up the name of someone or a place in the world or a situation in life that you would like to have God's healing touch surround in a special way, you may do so in the midst of our silence. Let us go to God in prayer. Morel Robinson. Oh, dear Lord, there are so many that need you today. We pray, dear God, that you will send your loving care into their lives, so they do not feel so alone or so helpless, that they may know that you walk with them. Give them whatever they need, dear Lord, today. You know the need better than we do ourselves, and so we just lay them at your feet, knowing that you will hear and respond, that you will love and protect, that you will rain down upon them such gifts and blessings that you do for all of your children. All of us today just are filled with gratitude for the goodness that you bestow upon us. Guide and direct us as a church and as a people, that we are your people in this place called to be your servants, to lead lives worthy of repentance, to give and serve the way you gave and serve, to share the love of Jesus with those who do not know it, and to glorify your name and praise your holiness in all that we do and all that we say. Be with us today, especially as we learn to pray as you have taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "Here I Am" to worship.
Forgot to mention this morning. Okay. All is good, says Ron Coleman. I forgot to mention this morning. It is in your bulletin, but today from 2 to 5, the pastor will be hosting an open house at the parsonage, and all are welcome to attend. Her address is in the bulletin, okay? So everybody please make note of that and drop by and welcome the Christmas season into the parsonage. We thank you for opening up your home for that. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, let us turn, or you can look at the screen. Our first scripture this morning will be coming from the book of Isaiah, Chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our second scripture this morning is Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look for? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in white robes, soft robes? Or in royal palaces? What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God.
You know, this time of year, this season, is a time of a lot of singing and coming together and enjoying ourselves and celebrating the lights. There's a reason that we light candles and sing songs and gather around this time of year. It's because December is so dark. Don't you feel like that darkness has come on us earlier and earlier during the day? We do these things in the Northern Hemisphere, not just for the sheer joy of it, but to stave off the darkness that comes nipping at our heels. Everything in our culture this time of year tells us that we're supposed to be happy. We put a lot of pressure on this Christmas season to make us happy. Everything in the magazines, everything on television, the Christmas cards we send out. And inevitably, we end up disappointed. The turkey is dry. The airport has delays and we miss our flights. The shiny boxes contain sweaters and underpants rather than Legos or American Girl dolls. We don't always get what we want at Christmas. And sometimes even the church fails to deliver. The little angels sing off key. The sermon is inadequately uplifting. The crowd at the Christmas Eve service seems thinner than the year before. And the pressure we put on Christmas inevitably cannot live up to the hype. But these are just minor disappointments compared to what a lot of people go through during the Christmas season. As a pastor, I know to save room on my calendar in December. Because when people experience loss close to the Christmas season, as we've had several people experience loss, it's magnified, the feeling of loss and grief. The places, the empty places at the dining table can't be ignored. And we have people who are suffering with other things this time of year, illness, job loss, debt. Those things don't go away just because it's Christmas time. And when there is no comfort and no joy, our faith falters and disappointment creeps in. And that's not unfamiliar to the story that we hear that Robin shared for us out of the gospel when John the Baptist was in prison, soon to lose his life. It was said that he was born on the summer solstice, about 6 months before Jesus was born. And in our scriptures, John is a figure of dynamism, of judgment and light. Everything that John did was to shine a harsh light on us. His brightness laid our sin bare in front of all. His prophecy called down fire upon our sin. But as I mentioned, John is in prison in this scripture reading we heard. He's alone in a dark prison cell. And then all of a sudden, he begins to have doubt about who this Jesus was. And he sends a message to Jesus saying, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" This is after, of course, his preaching in the desert to say, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He's already done that. Now, at this time in our history, prisoners did not get eat or drink unless their family and friends brought them something. They didn't have state-run prisons to feed people. Their family had to bring them food. So John's family came and went, and surely during that time, John heard the message of what Jesus was doing. He cleansed a leper and caused the lame to walk. He restored sight to the blind and raised the dead. Surely, even in prison, John had heard all this. And he also, of course, knew what Isaiah said in the passage that Robin read for us. Isaiah writes that the eyes of the blind are opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame leap like a deer. Very similar to what Jesus had actually been doing. Now, some Christians cast aspersions on John for his doubt. And some see it as evidence that John never reaches heaven. That is the meaning of Jesus' words that we heard him say, "The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." But I say that it seems kind of unfair to kick a man while he's down, he's locked up in prison, about to lose his life. And Jesus has not been the expected Messiah, and so John had his doubts. With Jesus, there was more feasting and less fasting. Less condemnation and more grace. At this moment, it seems to John that there is more darkness than light. And his fears and doubts threaten to overwhelm him. But Jesus points out the blind spot, and John, though the greatest born of women, is also not entirely what the people expected either. John wears camel's hair and not royal robes, soft robes. And this is good news to the poor and the downtrodden. John is more than a prophet, Jesus says. He's the one who ushers in the new age of the Messiah, even though he loses his life before it comes to fruition. And that reminds us of the crux of this story. It's always darkest before the dawn. That's not just a trite saying, my friends. We all feel darkness and doubt before the light comes. The cross comes before the empty tomb. Death before resurrection. For Jesus' followers and for many today, that's an offense. A scandal is the word in the scripture. John will not be the last to doubt or desert. If you remember the story before Jesus' crucifixion, his family questions his ministry. The disciples flee and hide. Of course, Judas betrays him and Peter denies him. But all of that will not stop the dawning of the new kingdom. We can't blame them for wavering. This was a tough time, and they don't know the end of the story. But we do. We know how it comes out. So our waiting is different from John's. We know how the story ends in hope and promise and light. Those of us who suffer in sorrow in this season, remember that the Messiah comes to his glory through the cross. Jesus comes to be fully one of us, to know our joy and sorrow, to know our goodness and our sin, to know our life and our death. Jesus knows what it is to be poor this morning, to lose someone you love. He knows. To face imprisonment that ends in death. He knows. He's been there. He knows what it's like. And Jesus says there is no place we can go where the Messiah is not present. Not our doubts, not our fears. Jesus comes into these places, our disappointments and losses, and redeems them. In these dark days before the solstice, before hope dawns, the main thing to keep in mind in this dark place that we sometimes find ourselves in, is that we are not alone. The Messiah is not found in the glittering fantasy of advertising. The Messiah is not found in the false promise of materialism. Even in the idol of a perfect family, which none of us are. When we seek him in those places, we're bound to be disappoint. Instead, Jesus meets us in our disappointments and our doubts, our loneliness and our longing. And my friends, those who wait in darkness will see a great light. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
If you would stand and turn your hymnals to number 218, we'll sing "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
Abide with you always, and as you leave this place, go in his peace. Amen.